Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Yeah, the presence of God is just... there's nothing that matches it. Nothing matches up to it at all. The best ride, the best holiday. You can travel the world and you're never going to find anything as amazing as having that one-to-one encounter with Almighty God. So well done for being in on the bank holiday weekend and not being elsewhere. That's awesome. It's great that you've chose to be with us today, and we're continuing with our I Declare series, looking at what we shouldn't declare, but looking at what we should be declaring over our life. And there's a tendency to, sometimes I've said each week, to focus on what I shouldn't do and get so caught up in what I shouldn't do that I end up forgetting what I should do. And so the whole point of this is looking at not what I shouldn't say, but looking at what I should be saying. And so today's declaration is, I declare I will not just survive, I will thrive. Amen. So the whole first I was afraid, I was petrified, kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. Fantastic. I spent so many nights wondering how I'd get along, but I grew strong and I learned how to get along. You know, we don't just learn how to get along. We don't just I will survive. We thrive, and it is not God's intention for us to just survive. Yes, there might be Mission Survive and Born Survivor, and you know, I love Bear Grylls and all that kind of stuff, and those things I'm sure come in useful when you're in one of those survival situations in the real world. But life is not about just getting through and surviving. Now, I've got to say, personally, I just need to get to the weekend, or I just need to get to this time, or I just need to get to this holiday and everything will be fine. And, you know, I've gradually been trained out of that, because Sam will generally tell me, stop living like that. Stop trying to live for the weekend. There's even another weekend. You know, it's just not. and so many of us probably live in that same mentality. It's like, when I've done this, then this will happen, or when I get to this, this will happen. And God doesn't want us to live like that. And I'm constantly having to tell myself, God doesn't want me to be wishing my time away. God doesn't want me to be thinking, okay, well, when I get to this point, then this will happen. God's saying, actually, this is the point, this is the time, and it's now. Yeah. Stop surviving and start thriving, because that is my plan for you. That's the plan that I have for you. Yeah. So it might not come as no surprise that our key scripture for this week is Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13. And again, it's one of those scriptures that everybody's going, oh, I know this one. Please don't shut off. Please don't think, well, I've got that on my mug, or hung up behind my bathroom door, or I've got it on an inspirational poster with an eagle flying across the sky, or on a t-shirt, or on a pen, or a rubber, or a pencil sharpener, or a wristband, or a cap, or some laces, or some underpants, or whatever else you get. You know, you can put a scripture on anything these days, can't you? Please don't switch off. Please stay with me. I think, well, I know Jeremiah 29, 11, 13, so, you know, what I've got for you today is hopefully going to give you a bit more context about that particular scripture, because we know it about our own context. But just for as a starting point today, I want to look at it in the context of when God spoke to Jeremiah as the prophet and gave him that message, and then move on and just look at some situations biblically where it could have really been a situation of, I'm just going to survive this. But instead, the people or the individuals thrived in that situation, and that we're going to be inspired by those people today. Amen?
Yes. Yeah.
Be inspired by those who've gone before us and have said, you know what, I could have had a survival mindset and just got through this. And not to say that we don't fight, you know, there are going to be certain times in our lives where we hit certain points and it is genuinely just that, you know what, I've just got to get through this. I literally have to get through this. You know, Outward Bound courses, they're great for that. You know, Lisa Laughs Again, you know, it's literally like, when is this week going to be over? It's like, what have I got myself into here? It's like, this is just, you know, I was wishing my time away. And I've got a bit of, you know, confession time. Seriously, I don't even know how this works, but seriously, confession time. It's the only time I've been in a situation where I've been praying in tongues and swearing at the same time. You know, it's like, I don't even know how that's possible. But, you know, on a mountainside in lashing rain and everything else, it was just like, oh God. You know, I was having a meltdown. I was the one who'd fallen behind, and I was literally surviving the situation. So, you know, sorry about that. Confession time on everything, but that's how bad the situation was. It was one of those, you know, if it was a reality TV show, I'd have been one of those people that had got a camera focus on them of, look how upset he is. I wasn't as bad as Lisa, but, you know. But we'll let her off. She did have a reason. She did very well. But, you know, that's a survival situation that, you know, like these Bear Grylls kind of situations. And survival in life is, we sometimes hit those situations. It's just like, you know what, this is absolutely rubbish. I hate today. I really just want to get to the weekend. Or I just want to get to that holiday. But I'm not saying that we don't do that, because we do. And I'm sure we all have found ourselves in those situations. It's just like, I just want this to be over. You know, it's like, come on, enough's enough now. But God has got bigger plans for us in those situations. He's not saying to you, just survive. He's saying, thrive, come through. So let's have a look at Jeremiah. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will come on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." That's encouraging, isn't it? It's no wonder it gets printed onto every possible item you can think of. Yeah. I've still yet to find scripture-based tin openers. Everything else. It's in the shop at Faith Camp. It's like, seriously, like, how did you even come up with that? It's like, everything you can think of has got a scripture on it. It's insane. It really is. But they've missed the boat there. Tin openers with scriptures on. There's got to be some kind of scripture that you can... we'll find something. Anybody that's got an entrepreneur spirit about them, come and see me after the service and we'll have a chat about that. But Jeremiah, he wrote this and prophesied this during a difficult time. So it might have seemed quite patronising to the nation of Israel at the time when God spoke this. Because let's just have a look at this. Israel, they turned from God anyway, and just as Jeremiah had warned that they would. They'd been taken into exile in Babylon. Their cities had been destroyed. They'd lost their homes, freedom, and their temple. No longer could they worship by sacrificing the way that they had done since the time of Moses. Some people were separated from their families, and they were brought to live in a strange land with strange customs and a strange language. And the prophets that actually spoke out the kind of stuff that Jeremiah did with regards to a speedy return to Jerusalem were killed by the Babylon ruler, King Nebuchadnezzar, or King Nezer, those that have seen the VeggieTales version. And things were beginning to look hopeless for God's people. It's any wonder, when you look at that list of stuff, it's like, man, that is a hopeless situation. And here's this prophet who comes along and says, you know what? This is what God's saying. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I must have been thinking, are you kidding, Jeremiah? Like, seriously, are you kidding? Like, I've been separated from my family. My home has been destroyed. I've been dragged to this strange land where they don't worship like we do. They don't speak like we do. The customs are not the same. And seriously, are you joking? Are you serious about this? But the heart of God was saying, look, don't just survive this situation. I've got plans for you to prosper and thrive in this situation, even in a hopeless situation. They must have been thinking to themselves, how can we even be God's people without the temple to worship God in? Yeah. That's how we know to worship God. That's how we know to sacrifice. How can we even be God's people without the temple? How would they live in a strange new land? It's bad enough when you go on holiday, isn't it, sometimes, and you go to another country. It's like, I haven't got a clue what's going on. It's like, I really hope people speak English. Proper British, isn't it? It's like, you just assume everybody's going to speak English when you get there. And you find yourself in a shop and you're disgusted because the shop owner only speaks Greek in Greece. Or Spanish in Spain. It's like, what do you mean you don't speak English? Everybody should speak English. You know, what's the matter with you? I've found myself in those situations. I've been shocked when I've gone to a strange land and found... What do you mean? No, everybody doesn't speak the Queen's English. What is the matter with people? I thought everybody did. But it's not, you know, but these people weren't just going on holiday there. They were dragged there to this place, and there's all these strange things going on. And they would have been miserable, longing for home, and scared to hope that anything was going to happen and actually come out of this. Anything good was going to come out of this. So we're plodding on day by day, just trying to survive. Survive the situation. Let's just get our heads down and get through this. They wanted to survive and get through a bad time that they'd found themselves in. And when the Lord came to Jeremiah, God told them that they had a hope and a future. The message from God was different, was totally different to the situation. Yeah. What the situation and the facts of the situation were completely different to the truth that God had spoken into that situation. Again, how often do we find ourselves in a situation like that where the facts are saying one thing, but it is completely opposite to the truth that God is speaking into that situation? This situation looked hopeless. Mm-hmm. That message from Jeremiah, as I say, somewhat maybe even looked quite patronising, but that was the truth. Yeah. God had a hope and a future. His hand was in it. His hand was there. He was still at work. And even though they were in captivity that would last 70 years, there was something more down the road. Yeah. Even without the temple and the sacrifices, they were still his people. They might have questioned it for themselves. How can we be God's people without the temple? How can we worship God without the customs that we've grown to know since the time of Moses? But the truth was, they were still God's people. Nothing changed that. God was still looking out for them. God was still looking over them. God was still saying to them, you have a hope and a future. You, me, are still God's people. When the facts and the situation are saying one thing, you can truly declare, I will not just survive, I will thrive, because I have a hope and a future. And that is the promise God has spoken over my life. That is what he has put in the plan of my life. He is breaking through and making it possible for me to break through in every single situation. Not just survive, but to thrive and to come out stronger, to come out faster, to come out better. You know, like the $10 billion man, we can make him faster, we can make him stronger, we can, you know, it's a bit like that. You're going to come out ready and raring to go in something far greater. You know, perhaps it's like, you know, maybe you have an exciting job and you're just like, every morning it's just like, oh, you know what? You know, really, I've got to do this. Perhaps, you know, it's one of those situations where you clock in, you clock out, and you're just dreaming of retirement. You know, sad news for some of us that we're probably not going to be able to retire, but things are going at the moment. It's like, you're just going to keep going and going and going. You know, that you know, dreaming of retirement and just plodding along, and maybe, you know, you think, well, I'm just working to pay the bills. Or perhaps that you're working, but you're not even getting enough to pay the bills, and it just looks like a hopeless situation. The wage doesn't even look like it's going to cover enough to get through, and you're just surviving. Or perhaps your health might not be where you want it to be. You're just thinking, I've not got enough energy to do anything other than survive. You're just trying to survive, but God's plan is for you to thrive. Regardless of whether it's health, whether it's economy, whether it's your finances, whether it's whatever it is, God is planning for you to thrive. Amen. Yeah. Not just survive. Yes. It's not, you know, our life here on earth, yes, we're only passing through, this is not our home, but it's not supposed to be a survival mission. From the moment you are conceived, it wasn't like, okay, the mission survive music didn't come on, it was like, okay, is it going to survive? You know, it's not, you're not supposed to be surviving, you don't have to be doing that. Sometimes we have to get through times where we do find it tough, but we've got to be declaring in that time, look, I'm not just going to survive, I'm going to thrive in this situation, I'm going to break through. God's plans for his people start right here, right now. Yeah. They're not, you know, but don't be wishing for something new. Don't be wishing for something further down the line. God's plans is a here and now God. Yeah. He's a here and now God that is wanting to do something in the midst of a very situation. Sometimes we're holding on for someday. There's another song there. Someday. It's like, well, someday, you know, Elijah, one of the things he used to say all the time was one day soon. And that was when he was kind of like waiting to get his big Captain America figure. One day soon, big Captain America. And now it's like one day soon, Captain America suit. So even at a young age, it's kind of like one day soon, one day soon. It's probably, I've told him that, one day soon. But you know, we so often live like that, one day soon, when God's saying, what about today? I'm here today. I'm here to do something today. I want you to thrive today. I want to release something fresh into your life today. It's not about a one day soon. It's about God's plan beginning right now, right in the midst of what's going on. And he asks us to work with what we have. He's saying to you, work with what you've got. Sometimes it might look atrocious and abysmal. He's saying, just work with what you've got. Trust me on this. Trust me what's happening. And sometimes it's the most mundane ways. Sometimes they're expecting a big thunderbolt and a big flash of light kind of situation. But sometimes God works in a situation in what seems to us a very mundane way. But if God's at work, it's not mundane. Yeah. It's supernatural and powerful and amazing and awesome. And God's plan for that is for you, personally. Amen. For you.
Come on.
He's got a plan for you.
Yes.
You know, this now moves on to you. This scripture now crosses onto you by the death of Jesus. It's amazing. So quit thinking about what you don't have and start thinking about what you do have and focus on that. Go from there. Okay, I've got this. I've got God. I've got all these things. Okay, I'm going to work with what I've got. And I want to look at another biblical account, which maybe looked like a hopeless situation, but because of the attitude, there was an ability for things to turn around. So one day Jesus had crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. You know, those people that are going to Israel in a couple of weeks' time, you get to do that. It's awesome. Me and Josh should have been there now. We should have probably been on the Sea of Galilee now, but we're, you know, that got cancelled, never mind. We'll go one day. They went out to the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miracles he'd performed. So people wanted to get where Jesus was. And when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where should we buy bread for these people to eat?" I love that question. It's like 5,000 people. It's like, where should we buy bread for these people to eat? Oh, there's a McDonald's down the road, but I'm not sure the stocks are going to cover it. Can you imagine seeing 5,000 people rushing towards you and Jesus turns to you and says, "Where are we going to buy bread for these people?" It's like basically having 5,000 people run towards you and your mate turning to you and saying, "What's for dinner?" Yeah, it's like, I don't know. 5,000 people, that is mad. That's almost the equivalent of somebody turning, the whole of Faith Camp turning up at your tent and somebody looking at it and saying, "Okay, what's for dinner?" It's like, "Okay, I've got a gas stove." They didn't even have a gas stove. You know, it's like, you know, Philip's answer was much like ours, but it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one of these to even have a bite. But Andrew, he gets a good press in this particular account, however, brought to Jesus a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. We kind of know the story, don't we? And he knew it wasn't much, but it was something. It was what they had, and they were willing to let Jesus use it. So Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, blessed them, and then the people ate as much as they wanted, with 12 baskets left over. I think sometimes we maybe forget that. We remember that he fed 5,000 people, but we sometimes forget that he didn't just feed them. It wasn't just like, "Okay, that's my bite, now pass it on." It wasn't like the communion, where it's like everybody had a little bit. It was like the people ate as much as they want. Now, I don't know, I'm thinking that some of these people might have been quite greedy and thinking, "This is not going down, this is awesome." You know, it's like, it was probably like the first historical account of an all-you-can-eat buffet. Okay, there wasn't much choice, but it was still an all-you-can-eat buffet. So I'm just thinking, if I was there, like, if it was like, because you know, it's like Jesus had his hands on this bread, so you know it's just going to be like amazing, like really fresh, awesome bread, which everybody loves fresh, awesome bread. It's like, "Oh, this is so nice." I'm thinking, man, if I was there, then it'd have been like, oh, I'd have been laid on the grass like, "Oh, I can't move. The bread's expanding on the inside of me." But because they trusted God's plan, it didn't carry on multiplying on the inside of the people, by the way. That's not what I mean. You know, a bit like when you eat too much pizza and the dough carries on. You're like, "No, I can't move. Pizza, all you can eat buffet." Joseph knows about that one, don't you, mate? God, they trusted God's plan because they gave what little they had to Jesus. But the results in his hands were able to thrive instead of survive.
Yeah.
Now, I just wonder if Jesus had not got involved and they'd not taken it to Jesus. Just imagine like what it would have been like to just see the disciples and this little boy trying to divvy up this food before it was blessed by Jesus, before the miracle and the power of Jesus was upon it. It's like, okay, this is just not going to work, okay? They're probably like a breadcrumb smashing it up, getting this. Like, no, because Jesus was able to work with what he'd got, they put into Jesus, thinking, "This is what we've got. It's not much. We're going to survive. It's not much. Here you go. Do what you do." But they didn't just survive, they thrived in a situation. It was 12 baskets left over, one each for the disciples to go and have their extras after everybody had eaten anyway. I kind of think, did they? They'd already had the fill, so they've got this extra stuff as well. It's just like, you know, the overflow of what came. But The situation caused the people in there to thrive. They weren't just surviving. There was a thriving situation because what they had was given to God. What they had was not much, but it was given to Him. And that's all God asks us to do. Look, I know it's not a good situation at this moment in time, but just give what's there. Give what you've got. Give it to me and see what I can do with it, because I don't want you to just survive. I want you to thrive and break through into something new. And don't get me wrong, life can be tough. And it can seem like we're facing an uphill climb. Every single day we'll wake up and think, another uphill climb. This is so tough. Life can be tough. It can feel like we're going through the motions. We can just feel like we're trying to make it to the next weekend, as I said at the beginning, like my kind of mentality sometimes, make it to the weekend, make it to a day off, make it to a vacation. And we're going through life, we're just surviving it. And we're not meant to just survive it.
That's right.
We're meant to be having an awesome time, enjoying it. And sometimes it's like, I just cannot enjoy this. I cannot do this, but I'm going to thrive in this situation. I'm not just going to survive. I don't want it to just be meant that I just live a life of, okay, I'll get through this. I'm going to thrive in this situation. God wants us to live and work through, as in every single situation. God wants to live in you and work through you in every day situations. Every single day. That's what He wants. That's the life He's given us. There's an abundance of Christ that brings joy, patience and kindness in the midst of those situations. Joy, patience, peace and kindness all come in that situation. Everything else comes as well. But when you're in that situation, that stuff comes in as well. Don't just survive, thrive and recognise that those things are there. We weren't made to do that. And I'm just going to finish off with the classic story of Joseph, his amazing coat of many colours. Well, Joseph, what a story of a situation of somebody that didn't just survive a situation, but truly thrived in the midst of a horrendous situation for him. To some degree, it was his own fault. He got a bit big-headed, and you know, that caused his brothers to not like him so much. But in Genesis 7, we'll learn about Joseph, the favourite son of Jacob. That's already going to get the backup in it, you know. Don't have favourites. Treat all your kids equally. Anyway, but in jealousy, his brothers sold him into slavery. We all kind of know this, you know. It's just, if you've not read the story, if you're not much of a reader, then get the DreamWorks Joseph version. It's a really good biblical version, actually. It's very good, worth a watch. Apart from Ben Affleck doing the voice of Joseph, it doesn't quite work. His brothers sold him into slavery, and he ends up in Egypt as a slave in Potiphar's house. Even in his situation, he trusts God, and God blesses him. He moves up in the ranks in Potiphar's house. So he starts off at the bottom, and God blesses him. God causes him to thrive in that situation, because he's looking to God and putting his trust in God, and he raises in the ranks. Genesis 39:3 says, "When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favour in his eyes and became his attendant." I love that. God gave him success in everything he did.
Yeah.
Everything he did. That's like everything he did. You really wouldn't want to be like in the servant's headquarters playing Cluedo or something with him, would you? Or like playing like card games or something. It's like everything he does, he's just brilliant at it. You know, what's the deal with this guy? But you know, God was his favour was upon him. And Potiphar put him in charge of his whole household. And God blessed Potiphar's entire household as a result. So not only as Joseph was moving up and thriving in these situations, Joseph was causing everybody else and all the situation around him to thrive as well. But those that are familiar with the story will know Potiphar's wife, seeing the success of Joseph and seeing that he was probably a bit of a looker, makes a play for him. She kind of wants to take things to the next level with Joseph, but being the godly man, he flees. He runs and gets away, but is then accused. She makes accusation towards him to Potiphar, and Joseph's thrown in jail. So you think, man, this is going great. I'm thriving. I was thrown into a pit to die, but now I'm thrown into slavery. But now things are on the up again. I'm thriving. Now I'm in prison. What is this all about? What is going on here? But Genesis 39:21 says, "But while Joseph was there, the Lord was with him."
Amen.
The Lord is with you.
Amen.
And also with you. The Lord is with you. You see, you've missed out there. See, I was looking to those who with a Church of England background to respond to that one. There you go. and also with you. Yeah. So, you know, yeah. The Lord is with you and also with you. He is with you, as he was with Joseph. In that situation, in that jail, as we heard last week, the Lord's presence is always there in the good times and the bad times. But the Lord was with him. And God, still, even in prison, he was there with Joseph. And the prison guard put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners. So he's starting again. It's like, what is with this guy? It's like the favour of God upon his life is causing him to thrive all the time. And everywhere Joseph ended up, God blessed him and he ended up in charge. While in prison, Joseph interpreted some dreams of Pharaoh's employees. And years later, it's only like years. It's not like sometimes when we read it, I think we sometimes forget that it was a long period of time actually. Or it's not like a film where he's like thrown in prison for a couple of days and then it's like it's years, he's in there for years. But Pharaoh's having some bad dreams, having a couple of nightmares, and Joseph comes, interprets the dream. So it's like, you know, this is the ruler of the nation. This is like the equivalent of somebody in prison getting brought out to go to the Queen or David Cameron, and you know, it's like it's a big deal. And he interprets the dreams, and then, as we know, he ends up in charge. Once again, he rises up. Joseph's a man of God who's put in charge of Egypt. And then the nation, it starts to prosper, but then hits a famine. And Joseph is the one who's able to like manage this famine, because the favour of God upon him causes him to thrive. That even in the midst of a famine, because of Joseph and because of his godly ways, the nation still managed to not just survive, but thrive in the midst of it. Which is just awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Because somebody had recognised the favour of God is on my life. The ability to not just survive but thrive in God is upon me. This is what's going to happen. And then eventually his family came and they were forced to buy the grain from Egypt, and he was able to do that. But Joseph was confident in God and the promises that God had made to him. And when tough times came, he rested in God. He rested in God. At times, he might have been surviving. It might not have looked like he was thriving, but it's clear that he thrived in that situation. Joseph could have treated his brother with revenge, hatred and anger. He didn't. He could have been bitter, resentful and poured out wrath on them. He could have had them killed, but he didn't. Instead, he forgave them because he trusted that he was where God wanted him to be. He didn't question about where he wanted. Yeah. He just questioned. He didn't. He just like, I don't question it. You know, this is not a good situation, but God, I'm trusting you to bring me through, and I'm going to thrive in this situation. And you think to yourself, you know, had he not been sold into slavery in the first place, would he have ended up in charge of his own family as well as in charge of that nation during the famine? You know, you sometimes think, you know, did God have a hand in it all the time anyway? Not that God ever does anything to harm us. He never does that because he's a loving parent and a loving father. But you sometimes think, well, okay, God kind of knew what he was doing there to some degree. Look where Joseph is now. He's not just dancing around in his coat in the fields. I'm sure he didn't do that anyway, but he's not just dancing around in the fields in his coat. He's, you know, he's in charge of a nation. And Joseph thrived because he was rooted in God.
Yeah.
He was rooted in God, and he trusted God's plan for his life. Even in the midst of the tough times, he trusted God's plan for his life. And even though it would have been easier to just give up and throw in the towel and say, that's it, I've had enough, Joseph lived a life that sought God and pointed others to God. It wasn't just about himself. It was constantly, people were seeing the favour of God on him in a nation that didn't worship that God.
Yeah.
He was able to bring something completely different. He was able to say, this is, you know, God's favour was upon him. He was rooted in a God had promised him, and he never quit seeing himself be helped by God or seeing others be helped by him and God as well. I don't know where you are when you're hearing this message. I don't know if you're in the midst of something that you think, yeah, I really want to see thriving come out of this. You know, perhaps you just need to see that declaration over your life. Okay, I'm not just going to survive this, I'm going to thrive in this situation. But what I do know is that God is calling you to himself.
Yeah,
God is constantly calling you to know him and make him known. So start digging into God's word and let him show himself to you. In the midst of that situation, Joseph knew who God was and knew who his God was. In the midst of those situations where you're thinking, I'm just surviving, I'm just getting through, remind yourself of who God is in that situation. The best way to do that is to get into reading your Bible, to be getting around people that are speaking those positive things into your life, kingdom things into your life. Take a hold of what it is that God's got for you and say, God, in the midst of this, I'm not going to survive, I'm going to thrive, because you are God, and my faith and my trust and my hope is in you. Don't just survive life, but thrive in it.
Yes. Come on.
Let's all say that declaration together before we finish. I declare,
I will not just survive,
I will thrive. Amen.
Amen.
Go, thrive. If you find yourself slipping into a survival mode, snap out of it. Say, I'm thriving in life, because God is a powerful God. God is a God who is going to work something in my life that I have never seen before. Like Joseph, like the Israelites, like the loaves and the fish, God's going to do something amazing. Give to God what it is that you've got. And as you give it to him, trust that he's going to do something far greater than you could ever possibly imagine, because you're not just surviving, you are thriving in life, because that is God's plan for you. To not just get through, but to slide through. To not just go limping into heaven, but to go sliding into heaven, having had the greatest time possible, and say, you know what, don't take me just yet, because I'm loving this life. You know, living that way, I'm thriving in such a way that I'm seeing all these declarations come to pass in my life. Praise God.